This broadcast is a weekly discussion about getting back to the garden. We will host guests to talk about how humans can be more loving in our present culture and how we can be safe people to be around when talking about spiritual topics. We examine spiritual questions from the worldview of God and the views of those seeking to learn about God. This show is to guide us all back to the garden. I am the producer, Colin Reynolds, and now here's your host, Barbara Moore.
This is Barbara Moore of Harvest Mountain Ministries, and I'm also an associate professor at Metro State Downtown in Urban Agriculture. And we are going to have a lot of insightful, fun conversations today about you got to get back to the garden. So our show is about getting back to the garden. What does that mean? It's for people that may know the God of the garden and for those who might want to know more about the God of the garden written about in the Bible. And we're dedicating this show and ourselves to helping people as humans to have spiritual conversations that are good, even very good, because we're going to learn together how to have spiritual conversations that don't shut down, but keep going. You know, in the garden, people were really nice, and we can be really nice too when talking about spiritual matters. I hope I've piqued your interest. I hope that you have wanted to talk about spiritual things with others. But maybe you haven't in a long time. So I promised last week to explain to you why in the world we would have picked the song called Woodstock by Joni Mitchell for our opening song about getting back to the garden. Now, you might want to turn off the channel right now because you say, who would listen to a song like that by a person like her? Well, I do, and there's a lot of people that do, and we're going to talk about Woodstock and Joni Mitchell as we move along in the show. But we're going to have some amazing guests come on our show also from around the United States, from around the world. People have different perspectives on life than may normally get to be on a radio show. We're going to have conversations, rest assured, about the God of the Bible, about the garden, and how do you get back to the garden. I may say some things that sound a little different to you, but I want you to rest assured that I have a background of going to Denver Seminary for 6 years, and I am very much in step with the God of the Bible. But this show, again, is for people that might be trying to decide, does God even exist? Or for those of you that believe in God, it's for both of us to learn how to have more spiritual conversations. So part of who Barbara Moore is that as a person, I got to get into the garden where it was very good when I was at about age 40. And last week we looked at the book of Genesis, and the favorite part of our book to focus on is that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So how good is very good? How good is good? And who besides Wikipedia decides what is good? What defines good? You might believe that good without God is good enough. But we're going to have some spiritual conversations around what if very good statistically is most possible when the God who says he made the garden is in your garden with you and you're in the garden with him. Somehow we're going to explore if there is a more gooder good out there. Now I know that's not too grammatically correct. But again, if you got to get back into the garden, what does that mean to you? Some people just say, I've asked them. Well, it sounds like getting back to the basics. It sounds like life is more peaceful because I started farming in 2006, so I'm very familiar with gardeners and farmers. And there is peace when you are gardening. It's pleasant. But where do you find that very good that the God of the Bible talks about when he made the garden? Now, again, we're going to talk about statistics. Say 2 billion people on the planet. I don't know if there's 6 or 8 billion people in the whole world, but anyway, 2 billion of them believe that there is a God and he does exist. And for some of you, you'll say, well, that's cool for you, but I don't know if there's a God. I've never met him, I never sensed him, and I don't even really know if there is a God. Well, this show is a safe place to sort out that kind of stuff. Stuff about the God of the Bible. You know, you can send your questions to our website, too, if you have questions about God, to harvestmountainministries.org, or you can put a post on Gotta Get Back to the Garden, our Facebook page, G-O-T-T-A, Get Back to the Garden. That's our Facebook page. And we'll respond to you with enjoyment and love. Love to see the kind of questions that you have. And if you're listening and you're a person who calls yourself born again, or you call yourself a follower of Jesus, this show might just help you to be able to have spiritual conversations where the conversation keeps going and it doesn't shut down. We're going to help people practice some spiritual disciplines, I guess you could say, or it sounds kind of stiff, but you know, maybe how you are, new ways to be how you are, how you can notice people more, how you can listen to people better, how you can ask questions that are nice questions, the questions that keep the conversation going and don't shut it down. You might be able to have spiritual conversations not with people in a pew, but you can talk to people not in church in your pew, but you can be in life and talk with people about how do you get back to the garden. One of the things I'm really grateful for, and again, this is Barbara Moore, Harvest Mountain Ministries, Gotta Get Back to the Garden radio show. I'm really grateful for the fact that I had some sandpaper taken off my heart and my mouth the last 6, 10 years, where I used to have spiritual conversations and I could definitely shut them down because I wasn't being very nice when I talked to people. And we all have to examine when we talk about spiritual things, are we nice? Because the thing that I used as a barometer for myself was that when I would watch and notice people, when I would talk to them about God, did I sound loving or did I sound like a clanging gong? So in Corinthians, it talks about what is love and what is love like. It's patient, it's kind. So when we have spiritual conversations with people, we don't want to sound like a clanging gong. I recently heard a couple of street evangelists that were yelling at people. And the students where I do stuff on the Averia campus were like running from this person. They were mumbling and murmuring and, you know, their necks were jerking back. And it just really didn't look good. And it really didn't look very good. I think when Jesus of the Bible spoke to people in villages and towns, probably the reactions of people were, they could tell that whatever he was talking about, whether it was seeds or women at wells or whatever, that there was love and authority coming from Jesus. So if we're going to have spiritual conversations, we don't want to seem manipulative or judging or especially, and I know I need still so much help with this. How about you? Do you need help in having more margin in your life so that you could be a better listener? It's a good question, isn't it? Do you need help to have more time and peace in your life so you become a better listener to other people? Because if you're going to be back in the garden with God, and it's going to be very good, I think that in the culture today, to be able to be a better listener is just so helpful. I was really glad in 2009 when I got out of the church bubble. And I mentioned that I became a follower of Jesus in my 40s, and it was a number of years that I was pretty much one of those church people and didn't really associate with other people very much. But In 2009, since this show is about the garden, remember, I'm an urban farmer. So I began to spend a lot of time with farmers and gardeners and greeners and hippie greeners and foodies and food revolutionaries. And again, don't turn off the channel right now when you hear somebody talk about these types of people, but these are my people. And for those of you that know the Bible, remember in Paul in Athens spoke to Epicureans. They were foodies and they were also spiritual. They loved talking about spiritual things and they were definitely into food. So I have learned to love and nurture crops when I farm, whether it's in the greenhouse that I have or in the field. There's love and nurture in the garden. And another thing I just wanted to mention is that there seems to be some different opinions about the God of the Bible and if he's very interested in the land or taking care of it. But, you know, we roll out this show from the Genesis in the first chapter in the book. And the whole first couple of chapters of Genesis made male and female and put us in charge of the land. I mean, it says it. It says, I have put you in charge of the land that I made. And since I made it very good, I would kind of like to keep it very good. So again, some of you might say, oh, those greeners, environmentalists, I mean, God doesn't care about that. One person said to me one day, well, you know, God takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies in the field. Why should I need to have to ever worry about what I would eat? I said, yeah, he made manna too, but he also told us very specifically that I have made this garden, I've made this land, I want you to care for it. And there's a really good book if you wanted to see maybe a little bit different of an agrarian viewpoint of the Bible. Because remember, when Jesus spoke, you know, during 2,000 years ago to people, it was very agrarian. And we've gotten into a suburban coma where we don't even know about agrarian things. But, you know, God hasn't changed. So there's a really cool book called Scripture, Culture, and Agriculture by a woman named Ellen Davis. She's a doctor of theology. And there's a lot of good examples of how the God of the Bible really, really cares about the land and the animals and the trees and to take care of it. You know, just something maybe you might want to take a look at. Another point about that first chapter in Genesis that I wanted to have us think about for a minute is seeds. Now, probably more of you listening up and down the Front Range garden now than did even 5 years ago, because it's like a big deal to garden. So you probably buy seeds, but you know what? All seeds aren't created equal. And in Genesis 1, 9 through 12, God said that he made the trees for us and all the seeds that come from the trees and their kind. There's seeds and there's kind of seeds that come from trees and from bushes. And he basically doesn't want us to mess with seeds because he made seeds, and certainly we have heirloom seeds, all types of original seeds that are hundreds of years old. But God gave us the seeds to provide what? Food for all to eat. And what kind of food? Food that is good. So if an animal wants to eat food, because remember he said in the garden that there was food for people and food for animals, then what if something has happened to our seeds? You may not even know, but Monsanto in the United States of America got the right somehow to patent seeds, and they now are hoarding seeds and have the right to put farmers out of business if they mess with their seeds. In fact, over 100,000 farmers in India have hung themselves because they got Monsanto seeds and Roundup toxic chemicals for weeds, which is not a happy meal, and all their land went dead. So that's not a very good example of taking care of the garden. Whether you're a person that knows the God of the Bible or you're thinking about the God of the Bible, that is not very good at all. You know, we really need to get back to the garden, and that's what our show is about. It's sometimes we're going to actually talk about gardening, we're going to talk about farming, because I teach that at Metro State, and I have a farm in Lakewood. But really, for those of you that just tuned in, this is You Got to Get Back to the Garden with Barbara Moore, Harvest Mountain Ministries, and also an associate professor at Metro State College. This show is mostly about spiritual conversations increasing and growing about the God of the Bible up and down the Front Range in Colorado and around the world. Well, last week I promised that I was going to talk to you about why in the heck we would play the song by Joni Mitchell called Woodstock. And I want to read these words to you. So, Woodstock by Joni Mitchell. I came upon a child of God. He was walking along the road, and I asked him, "Where are you going?" And this he told me, "I'm going down to Yasgur's farm. I'm going to join in a rock and roll band. I'm going to camp out on the land, and I'm going to try and get my soul free. We are stardust, we are golden, and we got to get ourselves back to the garden. Then can I walk beside you? I have come here to lose the smog. I feel like I'm a cog in something turning. Well, maybe it's just the time of year, or maybe it's the time of man. I don't know who I am, but you know life is for learning. We are stardust, we are golden, and we got to get ourselves back to the garden. By the time we got to Woodstock, we were 500,000 strong, and everywhere there was a song and a celebration. And I dreamed that I saw the bombers riding shotgun in the sky, and then they were turning into butterflies above our nation. We are stardust, billion-year-old carbon. We are golden, caught in the devil's bargain, and we got to get ourselves back to the garden. Why would I play this song? Well, I mentioned last year that I grew up in New York, and in 1969, I went to Woodstock. You know, the town really wasn't called Woodstock. It was called Bethel. And the dairy farmer who owned it, owned the land, was a Jewish man named Max Yasgur. So the words to this song mean something to me because when I went to Woodstock when I was 19 with three of my girlfriends from Long Island, I saw things that I never heard before. I went to something that I thought would be good. I went to hear music. I went to have fun. But I saw things at this gathering I'd never seen before. People tripping out on acid, nudity, smelling pot, and a lot of music. When I got home, my parents said to me they were watching TV, and they asked me how I'd like being a hippie. And I said, "Oh, well, it's pretty cool. They had electric yo-yos, and the music was good." I had no idea that this was the beginning of a freedom movement to get out of the ho-hum drum life that our parents seemed to be working. You work all your life, and then you die. I had no idea this was a new time, that you should be able to change the way life was before, and you could just somehow you could be free and have sexual relations with people. Well, let's go right to the matter. A lot of things happened to me because of that Woodstock Revolution, but you know, there also came out of that Woodstock Revolution Jesus freaks, and we're going to talk about them next week. Who were people that came out, those 500,000 people that went to Woodstock, who were the Jesus freak movement that went up and down California and around the United States? People went to this Woodstock, got to get back to the garden place, and some maybe never really found the God in the garden yet. But there were others that went right to the God of the garden from that Woodstock gathering. So in culture today, people are still listening to those same songs that they listened to from Woodstock. And I do a lot of my life at the Auraria campus with 40,000 students. You know, those kids that went to Woodstock, they were somebody's mother, they were somebody's sister, they were an aunt, they were an uncle. Do you hate culture? It's just a question. Do you hate culture? Because those were people that went to Woodstock, and some of them are still alive. So do you hate their music? Do you know the story of Joni Mitchell? I mean, I'm just going to touch on it today, but Joni Mitchell grew up in Canada. She was a person. She is a person. She lives in Beverly Hills. She just had an aneurysm, and it's 50 years that she's been in ministry. But Joni Mitchell was a little girl who had parents in Canada. And during the time when she was about 6 years old, polio became rampant among children in Canada. Joni Mitchell grew up with a mom and dad who went to church. And Joni got polio. And so during that time Joni had polio, she found out that she could, I just want to read to you from her biography, 1943 to 63, Childhood Days of Joni Mitchell. She said, I started smoking cigarettes at the age of 9. I had polio. And when I got out of the hospital, I kind of made a pact with my Christmas tree, or maybe it was God, that if I could get my legs back, at that time I'd broken away from the church because I loved stories, and they had a lot of loopholes. And if they asked the teachers about the loopholes, like, well, Adam and Eve, how'd they meet? Or they're the first man and woman, and how'd they have two sons, Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel, then Cain got married. Who did he marry? It didn't go over so well, so I refused to go to church for a while. But then I had to pay back this debt because this God unfurled my legs and I was walking again, so I joined the church choir. And so she went on to say how she wound up getting involved with people, you know, smoking cigarettes, and then she said it made her head feel clear. And then she has a story the rest of her life. There's thousands of people in this world that love Joni Mitchell, and I loved when I asked Colin about Joni's song and the way she can move in verbal rhythms, and she's known for that. Well, you know what? The God of the Garden, I think, gave her those verbal rhythms, so we have to really think it through. Like Joni Mitchell, you could go, huh, you know, who's she? She's nobody, but she was somebody's daughter, she's somebody's sister, and she has a story. And she wrote about Woodstock, that you have to get back to the garden. And she was little, and God healed her of polio. So what do you think about people that listen to that kind of music? You know, there's 40,000 kids on the Auraria campus. And I'd like to invite some of you that may have listened to the Barna survey that says most kids lose their faith when they go to college. And maybe you believe in God when you go to college, but then you don't believe in God. But you know, if people have to get back to the garden, are you going down to the campus? Are you getting to know some of these millennials? Maybe you make statements that aren't good or very good about millennials. You just say, oh, all the millennials, they're this, or they're self-consumed, or they're that. But you know, if you have a lifestyle of getting back to the garden, maybe you might want to love them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe you want to get some millennials in your life and help them to discover the God who made the garden and the people in the garden. Because talk is cheap, but I'd like to encourage you in this show to have some spiritual conversations with millennials. And be nice, be very good and good. See what it is that they're interested in talking to you about. Remember, we talked about noticing. Notice what you could talk to them about. Listen to them. Maybe ask them questions that are really nice so that goodness comes and you don't shut down the spiritual conversation, but it keeps going. So the Woodstock song to me means something because I was one of those people. And those people still exist on the planet. They were trying to get back to the garden where it was good. Next week we're going to talk about who is it that defines what is good? So I want to thank you for listening to the show. So I'd like to tell you that next week we're going to talk a little bit more about what is good and who defines what good is. But I'd like to say a prayer for us right now. So Lord of heaven and earth, the one who made the garden and made it very good, would you touch our heart today, Lord, and would you take any sandpaper off our hard heart that may make us feel hard or staying away from people when we need to love people and know them? And give us, I call them divine appointments with people, your neighbors, people that you work with, or come down to the Orrery campus and get to know some of these kids that really need a friend and they're trying to figure out if there is a God and the God of the garden. And you can be one of those people. So we invite you to tune in next week and listen some more about Got to Get Back to the Garden. And again, how do you decide what is good? If you aren't a follower of the God of the Bible, how do you decide what is good? And maybe how do other people decide what is good? So we want to thank you so much for tuning in today. And I want to challenge you that if you are struggling with what's good yourself today, you're like, well, I'm not sure what to do about that. Is that the right thing to do? Is that good or is that very good? Or what should I do about that? I just want to challenge you to remember that God walked with people in the cool of the garden. He walked face to face with people. And God says to come to my banqueting table in the Song of Solomon, and that he wants to feed you with apples and raisins. And then God goes on to say in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon that he is lovesick for you. So that that garden has a God in it, and he is lovesick for you. So tune in next week to learn more about getting back into the garden with God and other people where it's very good. When it's all been done, when the race is run and this life overcome, I will remember your love. 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 I remember the first glance. I remember the first romance. I remember the first dance when I fell in love with you. When I fell in love with you. When I fell.